chapter 19, as you were finding your way to Luke chapter 19, once you go back to your childhood, I want you to go, maybe even you adults still do this, but go back to your childhood if you don't, to a time when you used to run on the playgrounds, and there'd be a lot of kids with you, and you would play games on the playground. And one of those games, I'm almost certain, I'm not clairvoyant, I'm not a magician of any sort, but I'll bet you, you probably played a game called Hide and Seek. If you played Hide and Seek, raise your hand. I found you all, one fell swoop. And Hide and Seek, you understand it, you have someone who's it. And that person who's it has to find the people who are in love. I always thought it was kind of cool to be it. You've heard that said. He thinks he's all that. Well, you get to be it. And how do you go see, right? So you get to be it. The object is not to stay it, but to catch the people who are hiding so that they can become it, and then they go and hide. Just in case you forgot what that game looks like, Silas Frisco is going to volunteer for us this morning. Thank you, Silas, for volunteering under no compulsion whatsoever. Mississippi, 6 Mississippi, 7 Mississippi, 8, 9, 10 Georgia. Now what do I do? Challenge that we get to be a part of seek and save. Can you imagine changing someone's eternity by being that person that bridges the gap between eternal destruction, grace, and heaven? You walk into the gap of grace as that person Jesus is placed there. You tell them about what Jesus has done. You don't save them, don't get me wrong, but you stand in the gap so that Jesus does the saving through you by His blood. And whenever you get to stand in that gap of being an eternal impact agent on the life of someone else, you will not find a greater joy, I guarantee you, in all this world, second to being saved yourself. And whenever you walk into that joy, being a part of that eternal challenge, is an amazing thing. In John chapter 4, verse 35, this is what we read. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look for the fields, for they are already white to harvest. I'm going to go through quite a few verses in the beginning of the message here before we get to Luke. But what I want to show you in that verse is the command is this. Look. Look. How are you going to seek and say if you're not looking? Jesus said the field is wide in the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look. We have to see that there are people out there who still need to be saved. My friend, I'm so happy I'm saved. What a joy. Flounder out there in the waves and give them safety and secure. That's what we're to be. A life on life investment is for us who are safe and secure in the love and grace of Jesus Christ to embrace the people who are being tossed about by the waves of sin and lost at sea and give them some safety and security as we have it. We have to be in the waters with them. We have to be in the presence with them. We have to put our life upon their life in order to reach them. A fireman runs into a burning building in order to grab somebody and rescue them. My friends, if hell is real and hell is hot and eternity is long, should we not be willing to run into the places of loss in order to bring people some safety?
Amen.
And that safety can only be found in the cross. In the person of Jesus Christ. And so life on life, as we go, must be about the joy of finding. It must be about the help of finding. When we stand in the gap of help, and we are being helped in that gap through the presence of Jesus Christ, and it must be about the result of finding. Someone's eternity is changed. Well, such is the case for Zacchaeus of Jericho. I tried to speak too fast. If you're in Luke 19, we're going to see what it takes to save the lost. First, let's be clear on what we're looking for. When we're seeking, when we're looking, when we're standing in the gap, we must realize that people who are lost from God. You say, what does that mean? They're lost from God. All humanity was created with an image of God impressed within it. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the fall of humanity took place. And by the seed of Adam, we've all been born into this world. And now we're sinners by nature and by choice. We're sinners by the seed of Adam, which we all share in. And we're sinners by choice, the fact that we act upon our will to sin. And in that sinful state, that image of God that is pressed within each of us is corrupt. And we've been lost from God. Let me clear it up a little bit more. I'm driving down the road. And I've got the windows down. What is it? Something rolled back? Going 65 miles an hour. Top rolled back. Going 65 miles an hour. And a 70's on. So we're clear. Apparently I'm just getting onto the road at that point. And all of a sudden the wind comes into the windows and it catches a dollar bill that I have laying up on the dashboard. And you know what that does? It zips around, hits you in the face, and people think you're having a seizure while you're turning the road trying to grab that dollar bill, and all that's going on, you're swerving a little bit on the dollar bill. And then what happens? You never catch it. And there it goes, right out the window. That dollar to me is now lost. It is gone out the window and laying on the side of the road. Is that dollar still valuable? It's still worth the same amount that it once was worth. The only problem is now, because it's lost to me, I cannot use that dollar because it's laying on the side of the road. It is still worth 100 pennies, and if I had that dollar, I could go to the convenience store and get me a 79-cent big gulp and get some change back for it. But because it's laying on the side of the road, I cannot use that dollar. I'm still the owner and rightful owner of it, but it's laying on the side of burns it up. They'll come through the mowers and they'll chop it up. Rain will just keep falling on it until it just deteriorates back into the soil. Ultimately, if that dollar is not found, destruction will result. People, if they are not found by the grace of Jesus Christ, there ultimately awaits that eternal destruction in a real place called hell. However, unlike an inanimate object, they didn't just blow away. It wasn't just for chance. They're blown away from the presence of God, and all of a sudden they are lost from God. People choose to run away from God. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Why do we sin? Because we're sinners. And we choose our own way. We choose not to stay where God has put us, where God has placed us. We choose to go our own direction and do our own thing. And that only results in destruction. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Because of this, we are lost. Or another way to put it is apart from God. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" We will be apart from God for all eternity if not found. Do you know what I can do with that money that blew out the car window? I already said I could buy a 79-cent drink, right? But only if it's found. Only if I go back to that point where I believe it blew up and I begin searching for it and looking for it and seeking it. And if I go back to the place where it was blown out and I begin searching for it and looking for it and seeking it, then if I find it, remember, it still had the same value laying in the grass before I found it. But now that I found it, I can redeem it. Galatians tells us in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You see, when God redeems us, that's Jesus paying the due price for the penalty of our sin. Jesus redeemed His own blood so that we might be bought with that blood, so that we might be bought back unto God. We were not of God as we were laying on the road awaiting destruction, but when Jesus redeemed us, He bought us back to God so that we might now be of value, that He stepped on us in the first place, bringing us back to children of God. And that is the eternal challenge God has given us that have been found. So what does it take then, having been lost, been found, been redeemed? What does it take then to find the lost? Well, in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, read this with me. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Let's read it all in context. Come back to that. "And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down, the man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So the question is, what does it take to find the lost? It takes going out of the way. It takes going out of the way. Jericho was not the fastest route to Jerusalem for Jesus and his disciples. Jericho was a little bit out of the way for Jesus to get to Jerusalem, where he was headed to in this context. And he went to Jericho. Why? Because there had been a Zacchaeus there that he needed to see God. How did he know to go? When you're walking close and clean with the Lord, and you're listening, the Lord will speak to you. And he'll tell you what he's doing, and where he wants you to go, and whose life he wants you to invest in. He'll speak to you and tell you what ministry he wants you to be a part of in people's world. Jesus went to Jericho, I believe, because he heard from the Father what to. Matter of fact, Jesus attests to that. He said, "I am going to you. I must do what I see the Father do." Are you looking first and foremost at the Father? Because you're never going to be able to see in order to see and say, if you're not watching the Father's activity in your life. Are you walking close and clean in His presence? Because that's when you're going to have open ears and open agendas to do what God has called you to do. Because if you're not walking close and clean, it's not all about Him. If you're not walking close and clean, it's because you've got personal debt in your life that you're enjoying too much, and it's all about you. But when you're walking close to clean, your agenda's cleaned off too. And all of a sudden, it's not a big deal to go out of your way and to go someplace that you would not have normally traveled to get to where you were actually going. And it's okay to be detoured when it's about Him. You see, Jericho was one of these bustling Palm Springs kind of towns. It was a summer place for the wealthy people to get away to. It was about 1,100 feet lower elevation than the rest of the land. It only rained about 2 times a year, maybe about 2 inches of rain each year. That's about, you say, "Well, man, it must have been a desert." No, not at all. They had all these artesian wells just springing up from underneath the surface of the earth, and streams and creeks running through it. It was a lush tropical place. Never got below about 82 degrees. I kind of know a place like that, don't you? Thank you, Lord, for it. And the wealthy people would go there in order just to get away from their normal home place. And that's what you find when you run into Zacchaeus. It says he was a publican. He wasn't just a publican. He was a chief publican. What does that mean? Tax collectors would go out and they would tell people, "You got to pay this money to Rome." They were right in that. Rome had charged taxes to the people. And the tax collectors made their income by taking more than Rome had charged. Be the chief publican mean that you did well doing that. You always gave more to Rome. Rome recognized that you were a great producer, and therefore they put other tax collectors under you. So then you got rewards from their excess collections as well. You're starting to get the picture of Zacchaeus and the place, and all the people that would have been there with him were of the wealthy, elite people. And Jesus said, "It's that place I'm going." "I didn't think a rich man could get saved, Pastor." No. It's not what Scripture says at all. Wealthy people get doesn't matter who you are. God has imprinted His value so much upon you, and He loves the value He's imprinted upon you so much that He sent His Son to die for your sins, that that value may be regenerated, may be redeemed for His glory. And when you get saved, indeed, it is. But it takes going out of our way if we're going to find the lost. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I can throw a rock into the city around me, and I'm going to hit somebody that's lost. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't want to do that. That's not a good evangelism strategy. But you're right. Great and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there are to provide. Narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. Few there are to find it. The majority of people are lost. But how do you know who gets it? Are you listening to the Father? You must be willing to go out of your way when you hear it. What does it take to find the lost? It takes going out of your way. What does it take to find the lost? It takes seeing people where they are. In verses 3 through 5, you get a little bit clearer picture, and it fills in some of the things I just spoke about. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I want to pull a few things out of here and we'll move on. Rich, wealthy, tax collector, government official, charging people excess for their taxes. Hears that Jesus is coming through town. His curiosity got the best of him. He wanted to see who this person was that was named Jesus. Climbs up into the sycamore tree. Jesus comes to that sycamore tree. Now, wait a second. I want you to get the picture right. When I see the paintings of Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree as a child, and yes, I would be, yes, 1 year, when I there was an isolated tree, and there's Zacchaeus standing up there. Easy to spot. There he is. What did I just describe this place as? Jericho, lush, tropical, beautiful, artesian wells, springs running through. Do you think there's just one tree? I think there's a canopy of trees on each side of the road.
So here's Jesus walking down that path, going into the town. And as he's going into the town, he looks up. Number one, why is this man in a tree as a wealthy elitist?
Curiosity got him there. But it was Jesus that found him. It was Jesus that looked and penetrated the leaves of that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. You see, if we're going to find the lost, it takes seeing people where they are. Not just looking and seeing a crowd of people, seeing faces of people, not just going through your day and encountering people as they pass by you. It takes seeing people where they are. What's the tree that they're in? What's the hearse that they're dealing with? Sure. to some point. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I'm sure in the midst of that lunch hour, there was some laughing and joking. You see, Jesus was not a solemn man. He didn't walk around all the time and go, "You got this, boy." Why does he ever do that to Christianity? Jesus was a real man. And he had a real conversation with Zacchaeus. And he shared the truth of what God was doing somehow, some way, through that dinner time meeting. And what we know is that when Zacchaeus came out, because Jesus had met him where he was a different man. So what does it take to find the lost? It takes going out of the way. It takes seeing people where they are. And thirdly, it takes meeting people where they live. In verses 6 through 7, we finish that up. "So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Zacchaeus received Jesus. Get the full picture. Excuse me, I'm sorry. "But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to a guest with a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" Do you see the change that took place because Jesus met Zacchaeus where he lived? He met him as a tax collector, a robber of people. He met him in the depravity of his sin where it was, entertained in his home, and shared the truth. Why are we so afraid of our culture? That's where they live. They live in sin and debauchery. They live in arrogance and pride. They live in turmoil and trouble. But we should be familiar with that because we all lived there one time too. Or do we forget? Why are we so afraid of our culture?
Because they're going to take over the world and change it. Let me tell you, they already own the world at this present point in time because Satan is the prince of the air of this world.
Amen.
The fact that God has inundated it with His grace, the fact that His grace has permeated some cultures and some societies, and there's been a godward thinking in those cultures and societies, is nothing more than a blessing from God. And the Jesus reclaims the title deed of this world. And he stands back on the Mount of Olives as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, having rendered from the hands of Satan everything that rightfully belonged to Jesus anyway. Again, every dollar on the side of the highway is still worth value. Every person you encounter is still infinitely worth the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. But what happens when we find the lost? What happens when we go out of our way and when we see people where we are and when we meet people where they live? What happens when we find the lost? Look at verse 8:10. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, "Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham." Did he get saved because he was willing to give his stuff away? He got saved because he trusted in Jesus. And an evidence of the fact that he trusted in Jesus is he says, "You know what? This stuff's not worth much anymore." person to restore the people he has stole from. In other words, what we see here is something that high theologians and bibliologists call repentance. And lo and behold, people call it the same thing. Repentance. Repentance is a surefire mark. You've been saved. You live this way, going your own way, doing your own thing, awaiting destruction. You get found, you get redeemed. You start doing what God has called you to do. That means you put the lifestyle behind that you thought defined you. That means you leave those things behind that you thought meant everything to you that are not of God. That means you walk Godward instead of worldward. That's what repentance is. So when we listen and seek and find, you never know but what God might say. Maybe today you're like Zacchaeus, and you're curious about Jesus. You're curious about church. You're curious about the Bible. And you climbed up into a pew to see what you can see. Let me assure you that right where you are, right where you live, right with every detail of your life, God sees you. And He would call you by name. As He looked and He saw Zacchaeus, never met before in their lives, yet He knew every detail about Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, call me by name." How many times do you think Zacchaeus heard his name called in a week? When he would knock on the door, and the people inside would be awaiting, or maybe surprised even at his visit, and they would look out the window, and they'd see that short-running old tax collector again, and that's how they call us. Maybe that's the picture we have of God. That if He were to call my name, it would be, Leroy. But that's not how God calls. When Jesus calls His name to the tree that He's in, He says, "Zacchaeus." With a joyful tone of hope. If you've climbed up into a pew today just because you're curious, God knows exactly where you are, who you are, everything about you, and I know He calls your name because He's drawing you to a relationship with Him. And if you hear the voice of God today, say, "Be saved from this crooked and perverse generation. Be saved from your sin. Be found along the roadside by God who will redeem you and restore you and regenerate you and make you something more than what you ever possibly could have been. Make you a son of God." Then I pray today, respond. Come down out of that tree. Because you will die forevermore in the presence of Christ. What a foretaste that would have. Let's pray. Father, your scripture is absolutely true. Every word, every job, every single, every aspect of your word that you've given us is absolutely true. And either we're going to agree with it and be changed by it, or we're going to continue going our own way and be crushed by it. When your scripture tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one, that includes all of us. And it goes on to say, there's no one who understands or seeks after you, but yet, God, I thank you that you sent your Son to seek and to save that which was lost. I thank you that you call us to join in that, in that initiative that you created in the halls of heaven, Father. I thank you that as we join in it, when we go, that God, you're going to bring us to the people that you are drawing. And I thank you, Father, that we don't have to stand in your presence and give an account to the results, because God, you are the one who holds the results in your hands. I only pray that, Father, that we're willing to go. We're willing to stand. And we're willing to speak as you lead us to whom you give us. And I pray this in all things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.